The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Valspar Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, welcome, and I hope you enjoyed your two free holes of golf.
Oh, yeah. I love getting free holes of golf. Always great. And this is a great tournament. But the coolest thing about it is it's the Davis Riley against Sam Burns, right? We're going up against a star. Maybe not superstar, but a star, no doubt, the defending champion. And this guy's a 25-year-old rookie on the PGA Tour who has a chance to win. It was such a cool story. The whole day, it was really cool, and I enjoyed watching the playoff as well.
Yeah, really great day of golf culminating in a two-hole playoff. Mark Immelman is here. Mark, that was a doozy.
Yeah, how's it, boys? First thing, Greg, I'm digging the Outlook little bits you're doing on TikTok. I'm paying attention to those.
Thank you. Yeah, but they're fun.
I've got to say this. You talk about the future of golf and the changing landscapes. We got it front and center this afternoon. You know, I don't want to say JT is an older statesman, but Sam Burns is just 25 too, okay? And then you've got Morikawa and Hovland, and now you've got Davis Riley is legit. I mean, that was riveting stuff, and what a great way to sort of introduce him to the world because he's been good. And then obviously Sam Burns. I mean, I just tweeted now, that boy is just a boss, and he's going to win so much more in the future if he stays injury-free.
When we entered this Sunday final round, it was a four-horse race, according to our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook. Davis Riley, a tiny little favorite over Justin Thomas, with Sam Burns and Matthew Neesmith behind. I want to take this a little bit chronologically, as I like to do here, Greg, when we do have a playoff, because Davis Riley entered the day with a multiple-shot lead and ran into big-time trouble on the fifth hole. He made a triple on the par five fifth, the only triple made on a par five by any golfer in the field this week. The rookie sleeping on the 54 hole lead did it, and we still got himself into a playoff.
This was an incredible aspect of the tournament because you're just getting going, and it's kind of a slow start. Everybody's kind of hanging around. Everybody had made a bunch of pars in a row. There weren't a lot of birdies being made. I mean, it was like on top of the leaderboard, Adam Hadwin was the only guy that had made a birdie in the top five through the first five holes. It was like nobody was making a move. And all of a sudden, and that's good for Riley, right? He's in a situation where nobody's charging and he's cruising. And the more holes go by, the better his chances of winning get. And all of a sudden he hits it left off the tee, decides to play it up the left side of the hole, as you can see there. If you're watching on YouTube, and then he's by the eighth tee, he's all of a sudden over by the eighth tee taking a drop, and he has a doable shot to get on the green. It's a 105 yard shot or something like that. And all of a sudden he chunks it 50 yards and ends up at the base of a tree. And this is that situation where everything is going so fast. Everything's moving so fast. The chip shot that he hit from the backside of the green once he eventually got over there, his fifth shot, was so nervy looking. It was a little bit concerning. And I thought he was done at that point. And he really showed some guts to not be.
If you are watching on YouTube, when you're playing up the shadowed version of Tourcast, that area outside the hole that you're supposed to be playing, you're in big trouble. And Mark, this usually, when you see something like this from a guy who's got you know, 25 starts on the PGA Tour, who had to sleep on the lead. That's the E word. You're about to get an ejection. You're about to see this go sideways, and you're about to see him finish T12. The fact that he was still able to kind of right the ship, figure this out, and get himself into that playoff is pretty remarkable in itself.
Yeah, well, first off, just to put some, I guess, enlighten the situation some, he's not the first guy to go down six fairway, because when you miss that fifth fairway left, it's normally the best way to go. And we saw Gary Woodland in our feature group's ESPN coverage do it just yesterday too. So it's a legit thing. It was just a poor shot he hit. But, you know, and this is where you might champion this cause, Rick. The strokes gained stuff. Mm-hmm. He showed us strokes gained mental acumen today. He showed us strokes gained guts today. He showed us all that stuff that you can't measure. And to come through the way he did, because you're right, make a triple bogey on the fifth hole of the final day, you got the lead. I mean, your world just crashes in on you. And to Greg's saying, stuff starts going fast. Well, your emotions start working fast too. And then you start wondering, what on earth am I doing? And you get ahead of yourself. But he quickly made a very sound par on six the hole thereafter. And he sort of established a little bit of a groove, if you will. And then all of a sudden they're on eight. Hole playing 230 yards plus the par three. It's just off the left of the green and pitches in. And the fist pump he showed there after that hole out, this was a guy who's like, I'm in this. I'm still surviving. Where a lot of folks after triple bogey, they're like, oh my goodness, my day is coming to an end. So this was just such a, we speak about golf in this hands and feet thing, and these guys are so strong and skilled and they drive the ball so well and hit irons and putt and stuff like that. He was like Tiger Woods today in a way. He was never down and out. He might have been on the canvas a few times and he took one or two standing eight counts, but he was in it. And then of course he delivers that peach into 17 and makes birdie there, and then has a look to win on 18. It was the consummate sort of survival round of golf that he played, and he just kept himself in it. Never once did I see the comportment really drop very much.
Yeah, those final few holes were fascinating, and I want to deep dive those a little bit more. But once he makes triple, Davis Riley, that is, Greg, this thing's wide open. And you've got a couple of sharks that smell blood in the water. Sam Burns now lurking. He makes a couple of birdies early in his second nine. Justin Thomas trying to build some momentum. And even Matthew Neesmith hanging strong. I mean, this thing is now – it's still a four-horse race after this triple bogey, and we're trying to see who's going to get this thing to the finish line.
Well, now you open it up to even deeper, right? Adam Hadwin, who ends up not playing great for the rest of the day, but he ends up being in the mix. You bring all these other chasers like Brian Harman into the mix. Matt Fitzpatrick chasing. You wonder if they get a couple more, there's a time where they feel like all of a sudden they're in the tournament. So it really, it opened the gates. And it was the strongest chance was still in that top four, as you said. But now you're at a point where you don't know which one of them is going to do it. And anything goes. The one difference is Davis Riley just made a triple. So you're not really feeling great about him. It's almost like a three horse race, really. Well, he's going to eject, as you said, Rick, the E word. But he didn't. So it was really cool. It was a great opportunity for Justin Thomas. It was a great opportunity for Matthew Neesmith, who also made birdie at eight, by the way. And it was cool to see. And Sam Burns all of a sudden gets himself a two-shot lead by the time you're heading into 17. He looked like he was going to control it. Thomas gave himself some chances, and you thought he was going to get right there, and maybe it would be a Thomas Burns playoff. But that triple opened the doors for all these guys.
That 17th hole mark, pivotal, certainly. Sam Burns makes bogey. He was in the penultimate group. Davis Riley in the final group probably knows he's got to birdie it to have a chance. Maybe that's the easier place to make birdie than 18. Neither of them are very easy, and he stands up on the tee with plenty of confidence, doesn't he?
He really does. But before I talk about that and something we saw on our coverage on our channel that you might not have seen on the network show, I've got to give a nod to that up and down out of the sand for Justin Thomas. That was just magical. I mean, that was wizardry with a lob wedge in your hand from that lie to that target away from you. So that was spectacular. And then Burns just stepping up there after the whole thing's coming apart and bringing a sliding 8-footer just in the heart. I mean, that is some big stuff too. And anyhow, so then Riley shows up there on the tee and he's the last guy and he's now one back or whatever it was. And he's on the tee and he's got a guy called Lance Bennett on his bag. And Lance Bennett has worked for a long time as a caddy, well-respected, worked for Matt Kuchar for a long time when Kuchar was winning players' championships and stuff. So he's been on winning bags. And they're on the tee there, and Davis has 7-iron in his hand. And Bennett working him, he goes, there's a wind in off the left. You've got this number. That's the carry. And he goes, are you sure about that club? And Davis is like, sure about this club, but like resolute. And then he gets over the ball, and he's in the launching sequence, and the wind puffs up into him again, and he steps out, and he goes, that was just a gust. And then Bennett goes, well, it's 207 behind the flag, and starts working the numbers, right, to try and almost pitch him to go with a little off-speed six, if you will. And Davis Riley looks at him, he goes, this is the club. And he gets in there and delivers this gem. Now, look, the shot was incredible, but never, ever have I seen a rookie be so forthright, so resolute in a situation like that. Because ordinarily you're like, what do you think? What club is it? I'm feeling this way. Where's the wind? And there's all these questions back and forth. He got in there. He's like, I've got my hands on the rubber end of this club. I know this is right. I'm going with my instincts. And he did, and it worked out. And I was like, holy smoke. This kid can hit it. He can putt, but my goodness, is he tough. And when I saw that, I was like, this guy is destined for success if he keeps doing this, because that interaction for me was something, it'll live with me, Rick, until for as long as I draw breath.
That shot that Davis Riley hit into 17 was the shot of the day. So with all of that going on, he stands up, he hits it in there, and of course he pays it off with birdie. Both Davis Riley and Sam Burns, Greg, they had a chance to win it on 18. They both slide their putt by. We're headed to a playoff and the stakes are high. You've got a PGA Tour rookie looking to break through for the first time versus the defending champion trying to go back to back. Sam Burns trying to elevate himself into a higher tier of golfer, something that we've kind of been looking for. We talk seriously every Monday, Greg, about Sam Burns and what the great modern kind a golfer that he is, and there's a lot on the line in this playoff.
Yes, and you know, you start thinking about where you end your career and the accolades that you pile up. These are opportunities that you can't miss because it's so hard to get yourself in this situation. And to now have your hand on, what is it, three wins on the PGA Tour now, that's a big deal. And now you start to really feel some confidence that those totals can continue to pile up. So it is a big deal. It is exciting. And he had a quality shot into the 18th green. He gave himself another opportunity, especially considering Riley hit it in the bunker. But, I mean, Mark, you talk about the bunker shot JT hit on earlier in the round. What he did on 18 was, that was awesome. That shot was so good, Riley hit. I was so impressed.
The playoff, which I love that they did. So they played playoffs. 18. Thank you. They played 18. Then they went, 16? They were going to go 16, 17, 18 again, which is great. I love the routing. Valspar, kudos to you. Absolute great stuff. Both of them par 18 the first time around. They are both on the backside of 16 mark. Sam Burns with putter in hand. He's going to go first. We already see that Davis Riley has pulled a wedge, and from 32 and a half feet, Sam Burns hoops one, runs it around the back edge of the cup. I was telling Jacob, I thought it was falling out when it was on the back side of it. It drops in. Davis Riley cannot match it, and Sam Burns adds a third PGA Tour victory to the resume.
Yeah, it's crazy. And look, I know this is all about Sam Burns, but I have to just acknowledge real fast that bunker shot by Davis Riley on 18, that was special. To get up there and thump the sand that hard, that takes big courage and a lot of skill. And then to slide that driver down there with nothing but disaster through the fairway, that was good. But, you know, Burns showed who he is to drive it through the fairway, and then the strength of him from that rough to bring the ball down softly on that green, because there's something about that green where it's perched up slightly, so it gets exposed. So of the greens on the course, it was one of the more firm greens, and we saw players banging it through the back of that thing all day long. And that just wasn't good. Yet he could, from the rough, have that thing settle down on the surface. So that showed a gear that not many folks have. And that's what is going to separate Burns in major events, in my opinion. But then again, you know, winning is about taking your opportunities. I know his comments afterwards said, you know, I've realized on final days, you just got to sort of not make mistakes and hang around and give yourself a chance, which is true. But then when you have an opening, you've got to try and take it. And Tiger Woods was a master at that. Jack Nicklaus was. All the multiple winners on tour do that. And he's got this 30-footer that nobody had made anything from that side of the green the whole day, yet he found a way to do it. So it speaks to the moxie of the guy. It just speaks to what he has. It's an immeasurable, but again, the strength of him and just the skill of him to hit that second shot that he did, that is special. That's of the top drawer.
Friend of the pod, Sam Burns, with his third victory since the Valspar Championship last year. And Greg, he's going to move to number 10 in the official world golf rankings. The way that I've personally described him is he's the modern golfer. You were a little slow to call him a superstar. I'm getting closer and closer. I mean, he's a star. He's got the driver. He's got the approach play. He can obviously roll the rock. When I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, he is so even keel. It's hard to really get him upset. Mark's giving me three fingers. What are we talking about, Mark?
Just pump the brakes a little. Look, he's got the makings of a star. Let's not have the coronation just yet. You know, stars are made by big events. Now, he's had some awesome wins in his very young career, and he's 25, and he's doing stuff like Tiger Woods would have done, but just pump the brakes just a little while. I'm impressed. Slow down.
I might be out over my skis a little bit, Greg, but I'm very impressed. I love the way Sam Burns sets up for the future.
Oh, absolutely. And I think star is a fair assessment. I think superstar is too far to kind of split the middle here. I think he right now is a guy that's won three times on tour since Anderson Which Farms.
So he won Valspar in May.
Oh, he
so
won that was, first.
Right. Then he won Sanderson. Right. Then he won it. So this is three wins in like 10 months.
Right. Which is a big deal. That's stardom. You're one of the best players on the PGA Tour in that time. And that's a star right now. So I'm with you right there. The thing I really like about Sam Burns and his game is what he does on the greens. The putting is such a strong aspect. I mean, it's beautiful. He hits it long. He's and the biggest thing that has elevated him to stardom is what he has improved with his iron play. That jump took him from a guy keeping his card to a star. But in today's round, you get down to the nitty gritty and you're chipping out twice during the round on par fours on both, on six and on 10, he has to chip out and he gets them both up and down. He made so many 9, 10, 11 foot putts today that, I mean, obviously we wanted a playoff. If he misses one of them, he doesn't win. And so he was just so clutch on the greens and it was beautiful. And it's his separator. There are a lot of guys that are big and fast and long. He's one of them. But what he does on the greens is a separator.
I'm going to make a comparison. Let's call it a metaphor, if you will. He does Tiger Woods kind of stuff, but to me, he's Jordan Spieth with a big, high, towering trajectory. He can drive it like a banshee. And then he's got that ability to make saves from all over the place. And that's what he did. And that's how he's won these events. Because we had him in feature groups coverage and it was downright scrappy in round two. He missed a number of wedges out way to the right. He was late on everything and the ball striking just wasn't there, but he kept himself in the game with that short game. And then today he was sort of covering up the Copperhead course from all corners there, but made birdies when he had the chance and made saves when he needed to. So I would sort of say he's got an element of Spieth to him, but he just hits it like a ram, if you will. It's got the height, it's got the speed, it's got the power, and he moves it comfortably in both directions.
I would say DJ is a comparison for me. And part of that has to do with the demeanor. There's a brilliance in the, from what I hear from him off the golf course, there's a simplicity in his methods. And it reminds me of Dustin Johnson, which is great. And then he hits the ball kind of like him too. So it's cool to watch, but it's fun that you could have all these comparisons and they're legitimate. The scrappiness, the ability to make a score, Rick, reminds me of what we talked about on Friday night, where the stars are able to contend, able to put rounds together when they don't have their best stuff, when they don't hit it beautifully. For Davis Riley, he's got to hit the ball really well right now at this stage in his career to contend. And that's why you don't see him contend a lot, because it's hard to put it all together. But a guy like Sam Burns, a guy like Justin Thomas, they don't have to put it all together to contend. They know how to shoot numbers with two sixes next to them. They know how to shoot low scores. And all week, you look at what he did statistically for the week. He ends up being third approach the green. He had one really great round in round one. But other than that, it was modest, I would say. He's 13th around the green. He lost strokes around the green on Sunday. He's eighth in putting for the week. There's not the dominance you see sometimes. He figured out round over round what needed to happen to get it done. That's what makes him a star.
The Reverend Duchamp, you're preaching, brother. No, I like what you're saying, and I'm completely on board. And just to put a button on the star thing with Sam Burns, he's got that thing where he's just attractive. I mean, as a fan, you want to watch him play. So he's got that star quality. And when he walks around, he's got the chest puffed out. He's got the swagger about him. And you're right. He doesn't seem to phase, kind of like a Dustin Johnson. But then you watch that putt that he made and that celebration. That was like Woods. Dustin Johnson would knock that down and sort of go, hey, what's up? I just won the 25th time in my career, you know, where that was real. And you saw the emotion, and you got to look inside of the guy who's normally quite stoic when he plays. So he has that star quality if you just watch him and you see him in person, because the guy, he cuts a big figure. He's like 6'1". He's strong. He's got the whole thing going on.
Sam Burns successfully defends his Valspar Championship title, the first person to do it since.
Give me a pocket.
Thank you, producer Jacob, and good luck to you, Billy Horschel, trying to get Sam Burns to be your partner again for the Zurich Classic. You've got some selling to do, my friend. Let's put a bow on Davis Riley real quick, because Greg, he won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour in that super season that we had. We're already seeing why he was able to get into the winner's circle a few times on that circuit, and he is seemingly ready to rock and roll here on the big tour.
It's pretty cool to look at his well-rounded game too. There are two different rounds where he led the field in strokes game putting. He did it in round one and round three, which is really cool. He also led the field in round three around the green, and he led the field off the tee in round two. So he kind of had a little bit of that too, where he excelled dramatically in one area round over round, which was cool. But a lot, he drove the ball great this week, ends up leading the field off the tee. And on and around the greens, he was excellent as well. So it was cool to see. It wasn't quite the iron play that I thought would be required here, but he scrapped it out and nearly won. Very nearly won. Should have won. He should have won this tournament.
0-for-4 in conversions of 54-hole leaders during the Florida swing. Daniel Berger, Billy Horschel, and Taylor Gooch. Honor Bon Lahiri, now Davis Riley, all failing to close out with 18 holes to go. But Mark, he gets to feel heat of the battle on the PGA Tour for the first time. And I think based on some of the accolades that we've thrown on him in the last 22 minutes, we think he's going to be back in the heat of the battle again shortly.
Well, I would think so. Look, he's not in the field next week at the match play. And if he doesn't go and play in Punta Cana, I think he needs his head read, because he's going to have all sorts of mojo going on. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he contends again next week. I sort of felt for him in a way that, you know, this, if he had happened to pull off this victory, all of a sudden you're in the Masters in just a few weeks' time. But, you know, that's going to happen in the future. That's guaranteed. Right now, he's just got to put this behind him, you know, go and revisit this a little bit, go and celebrate the successes, don't live in the losses too much, because he played well, he earned it. I mean, he battled back, and he can hang his hat on that thing, because you're right, Rick, he could have been out of this thing after the fifth hole today. So he showed what he's got. So yeah, I'm certain he's going to be around some. You don't win by accident on the Korn Ferry Tour, and doing it multiple times, that shows what you got.
Yeah, quickly on the other two horses here, gentlemen. Justin Thomas, 7 finishes of 8th or better in his last 10 starts. Greg, for a guy of Justin Thomas's caliber, you could look at that as a bit disappointing, but this is kind of what JT does. His floor is so high, and if he finds a putter, he is going to stack trophies. This is how it works, and it kind of stinks that you've got all these top 10s and you're not winning when you're JT, but this is kind of the recipe.
Yeah, look, he's really good. He got beat. He didn't give himself an opportunity on 18, which I think is probably the thing he's most disappointed about. You think of that moment coming down the stretch with a chance to win, and all of a sudden you're up against the lip of a bunker, and that's very concerning. And it doesn't give it robs you of that opportunity. So I think that's probably the thing JT's most disappointed about. But all in all, great play this week, and he's got to be feeling good headed into a major championship season.
I am surprised. I'm not going to question Justin Thomas and Bones McKay. They're two great minds. I think they're great together. But I am surprised that they pulled a club that was going to reach those bunkers down the right-hand side. The bunkers on the left, you can play from all day long. Those lips are low, you can get the ball to the green. But down the right, that's automatic pitch out, and everyone knows it. And maybe it was just some juice, the adrenaline or whatever, but I was surprised when I saw that miss in that pot bunker down there.
Matthew Neesmith sets the 36-hole scoring record and ties the 18-hole tournament low score, but comes up a hair short here. Greg, this is a guy that we talk about again seemingly every single Monday. He's going to finish T3. It's going to earn him a lot of money. It's going to earn him a lot of FedEx Cup points. Again, it's experience about being in the moment. And he's another guy who could have blinked, who could have fallen off. I love the way Neesmith played this week.
I do too. Very impressed. I think last night is where he's a little disappointed, finishing up with 2 bogeys late. That probably bothers him a little bit because he got off to such a great start on that front 9. But making birdie at 8 today was huge, and making birdie at 17 was really clutch too. And it gives you that feeling like you can do it. And if you're Matthew Neesmith leaving right now, you know you can win on the PGA Tour. You know you have the stuff to do it, which is really cool. And if I were to give him a comparison, I think he is like a Tom Hoagie kind of guy, where he could really blossom into a consistent player. He's a popper right now and has been. And that's one of the reasons why we talk about him on Mondays so much. And that seems to be the only day. But going forward, maybe it's this year, maybe next year, maybe even the year after that, he could turn into a real consistent player and be a guy who's winning on the PGA Tour.
At the risk of sounding like I'm echoing Greg a little bit, I just want to agree there. Look, he did great work this week, and that birdie on 17 was very clutch and very timely. If you're going in the wrong direction mentally and physically over there, you're not doing that on the penultimate hole and giving yourself a shot still to make it in the playoffs. So that showed what he's got. But I've had my eye on him for a long time. The guy's got a beautifully organized golf swing. He hits it long, man. He hits it solid, too. And he spent a lot of time with a guy called Marcus Potter, and they're really working on the short game with an emphasis on the putting. And you saw there in that 61, he started to roll stuff in. And today, maybe it dried up some, but, you know, putting on Sunday afternoon in the last group is different to putting on Friday afternoon in the whatever group it was. So I think a lot of learning is going on right now, but I'm certain that he'll take this and go, right, a nice big deposit in the bank account. Let's go freewheel for a while because I know I can hang.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to continue to talk about the Valspar, and I want to talk about next week. We've got to do our odds and ends. We're going to do that. Mark, we're going to get you out of here. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good, always good to talk to you.
See you, boys. I appreciate you. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. All right.
That's Mark Immelman. You can follow him on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. We're going to talk about Bryson. We're going to talk about the match play. We're going to talk about a lot of things. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance
Giants jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to viori.com/first. That's viori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. viori.com/first and discover the versatility of Viori clothing. Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
And we're back. How about this? A hot tag. Mark out, KP in. That's Kyle Porter. Welcome, bud. Good to see you.
Sounds like an upgrade to me.
Ooh, doggy. It's nice for you to say that after Mark has already left. It's easy to say.
I'm kidding. Yeah, Valspar was great. I don't have a ton that you guys probably already didn't already talk about, but I mean, I think my big takeaway is Sam Burns is a star, right? And I think you win now. You win three times in 24 events in the last year, and you're in the top 10 in the world. You got to do something. Like, you wanted to see it last week at the Players in a big spot, right? You wanted it like a big time Players major, something like that type event. But he is, it's interesting because it feels like we're accumulating all these like Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns and Zalatoris and all these guys that are 24 to 27, especially on the American side. You can maybe throw Davis Riley in there in a couple years from now. And there's just, I mentioned the Ryder Cup after he made that long putt on 16 to win it. And you're like, man, there's so many good young Americans and a bunch of guys that are a little bit older, like Finau and DJ and all these guys that aren't really going anywhere either. So it's pretty exciting. It feels like we're adding stars to the tour without taking very many guys away, which I think is a really interesting kind of concept for a professional league.
Yeah, I wanted Sam Burns on that Ryder Cup team in the last go around. And Greg, we're going to get to the next one. There's going to be 26 well-deserved Americans who can be on that squad, and there are going to be snubs. The second team might be pretty darn good for the U.S. side. But yeah, it's a plethora of young riches right now.
You know, the stars thing is interesting because this is one of the beauties of the tour and how many events we have. There are events every week, and you don't always get a Players Championship or a match play where all the best players are there at the same time. But it opens up this opportunity to have stars that kind of come and go in waves. Morikawa and Hovland right now, maybe they're not playing their best golf right now. They're not on top of the leaderboard every week. And some of us are fans of them individually, but it doesn't ruin the event when a star isn't playing well or isn't in contention. If you're a fan of the New York Jets and their quarterback is playing poorly, right? Zach Wilson's not playing well.
Jets? Who would willingly be a fan of the New York Jets? No one on this podcast, right?
A psycho. But if you are and your quarterback doesn't play well, it stinks. But on the PGA Tour, if some of the stars don't play well, there's tons of backup. Somebody's playing well and there's new stars emerge. And it's a, to Kyle's point, it's a great model for a professional sports league, and it will continue. But the cool thing is how many of these guys are really, really good and continue to repeat. They don't cycle in and out every week and go away forever. They come in and they're back again soon. Sam Burns missed three cuts in a row before players or before API. And here he is winning just three events later. It's pretty cool.
And I think the thing about golf that's interesting is we talk all the time about how, like, oh, everybody's more ready to win when they come out on tour, which is true. But some of the, like, fitness, technology, data, whatever, has kind of extended the careers of guys being competitive into their 40s. I mean, Phil Mickelson's a reigning major champion. And we're talking about all these 25-year-olds. Phil Mickelson's 51 or whatever.
Stuart Sink won twice last year.
Yeah, so I think it's really, you don't get that in, I mean, Tom Brady aside, you don't really get that in football. You don't get that in basketball. Maybe a little in baseball with pitchers and stuff, but golf is unique in that, and I think it's one of the things that makes it awesome.
Gentlemen, I'm going to do it. I'm now declaring it match play week. This is one of my favorite events on the schedule. I love the aspect. I love they went to pods and we get round robin. And we've got an interesting little field, not only for those who are going to be in it, but those who are not going to be teeing it up. Number one, Bryson DeChambeau, as of this moment, in the field. He is committed to the match play event, so we'll see him for the first time in quite some time. And Greg, the way this works, if you're in the top 64 of the OWGR, you got an invite. A couple of guys, notables that have chosen to pass this one up. Rory McIlroy will sit it out. Cam Smith, we already know about. Hideki Matsuyama and the aforementioned Phil Mickelson are the notables not teeing it up in Austin.
For Rory, I think it tells me where his mind is. His mind is solely on Masters right now, and he's backing out of Masters. When does it make sense? Not where. When does it make sense for me to play leading into this to get prepared? And I think I heard he's playing Valero. So I think that's why he's out. Matsuyama probably still dealing with that back injury, which is why he had to withdraw from the Players. And then who else do you have? Cam Smith. He said he was just...
family and yep.
Phil is an obvious one. And so there aren't really, I don't think there's very many question marks here. Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised that Bryson's playing.
He technically still could withdraw. This is the same thing that he did before, right? Where you got to commit by Friday. And if you don't feel good by the day before or Monday or whatever, you could still pull out of this.
It's just kind of a weird re-entry point. Like, it's a weird week. You're playing like a strange schedule. And
well, if he goes deep, KP, it's seven matches to win the thing. To have that be your first spot back from injury. I agree with you. I saw it and I was like, that's super weird spot to come back to.
I would have been less surprised if he was playing San Antonio and then going on to the Masters than I am that he's playing match play.
It's a weird situation, Greg, because it throws your whole schedule. If you're talking about what Rory's doing, sitting out to make sure he's peaking at the right time, this is like throws your whole schedule off. And I guess it's a gift and a curse to go deep and play that much golf, but I don't know how much strain you want to put on. It's just very bizarre to me, the decision here. And maybe he doesn't end up teeing off and somebody else comes in, but I thought it was bizarre.
Yeah, I'm still a little lukewarm. I'm still not fully committed that he's going to play yet. So that gives me a little bit of pause. But the Wednesday start, it alleviates some of that seven round aspect to it. I think that can kind of, it's a little easier than seven rounds in 4 days. So it's manageable in that aspect. There's no guarantee that he's going to make it very far. I mean, he hasn't had really any success in this event in the previous two renditions. That's a little concerning. And I think he's looking for reps. He needs time. He needs to feel like he can play. And assuming you're healthy, to play 3 weeks in a row after all the time that he's had off is not as big of a lift as it may be for somebody else. So I think this is simply, I need reps. If I'm healthy, I got to play. And I don't care if it's at a strange venue or not. I got to get out there and compete.
Where does the match play rank, KP? I am certainly biased towards this event. I love it. It is one of my favorite. I cannot adequately rank where this fits on the schedule. It's the only match play event that we get on a regular basis, this individual match play. Where does this fall for you?
I want to love it. And I think that there are moments like when Bryson loses to, who was the guy last year? Antoine Rosner?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the first round or in the first, on the first day. And then Kevin Na is teaching DJ like the rules of golf. Like there are moments that it has that you would never get in a regular tour event. And so I think when it comes to those individual moments, it's pretty high up there, but overall as an event, it's a little bit, the two problems are it's a little disjointed because Friday is weird because half the field is out of it. And then Sunday is so slow because there's only, there's really only like four guys on the course at a time. And it's just kind of, that part of it is kind of odd to me. So I don't know how you can fix those, but I do agree that you get these really strange and fun individual moments that that don't happen at the Valspar or even at something like the Players Championship.
One last thing on this, Greg, and then we'll move on and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a lot on the Monday DFS preview, is that the best players don't often come out of their pod. I actually think last year John Rahm was the only like favorite or the only guy who, you know, because they put them through 116. They each have their own little pod. John Rahm was the only guy who was the lowest seed to get out of his pot. So you do end
up getting, barely did.
Yeah, you do end up getting kind of like a weird Sweet 16 style run. It's a little bit bizarre, but I love it. It's quirky.
I think the best early in the week, it's the best. It's number one on tour. Aside from majors, Thursday, Friday is awesome. It's so fun. There's so much action. It's fast paced. You're trying to keep track of everything that's going on. It's the best weekday golf event of the year. And the weekend, to Kyle's point, really slows down. So it balances out somewhere in the middle. But I love the prelude to this event.
Saturday's fun. The when you have the eight matches going Saturday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
But then cool. Saturday afternoon on, it's just, and probably in person, it's great. It's just hard for TV because it's like there's no rhythm to it. It makes it difficult.
This is why the PGA Championship went from match play to stroke play, because the most important element of the event is the least exciting in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Not depending on what happens, but that's just the way that it plays out. And that's why match play is tough. But I love the first couple days are phenomenal. And one last thing, Rick, to the point of the stars don't always make it out of their bracket. This is not like basketball, where a one seed, the difference between a one seed and a 16 seed is enormous. You're talking about the 64th best player in the world. And the difference between, look at what just happened with Davis Riley. Davis Riley should have beaten Sam Burns and Justin Thomas. He's like 399 in the world.
Yeah.
And he shows that when he's playing well, his game can compete with anyone else's. And then you take that over 72 holes, 74 holes in his case today, this week, and you shrink it down to 18 holes, and anything can happen.
It would be like playing 7 minutes of a college basketball game.
Right. It does not necessarily mean the best team's going to win.
I already know, Greg, you'll probably pick Sergio this year, because last year he went full Greg Isofire Ducharme walk off ace. That was in honor of you, my friend. Yeah. I think you should run it back with him.
He did say that afterwards.
Yes.
no, I love Sergio in this event, and I think Sergio's playing some really good golf right now. So I'm not sure I'm going to call him as a winner, but he's getting out of his pod.
Native Austinite.
That's right. All right, gents, we got to do our odds and ends here, and then we're going to get out of here. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we're back. Best bets. We had three of them on the record last week. I pushed Bubba Watson over Keegan Bradley. They both missed the cut at two under. So no blood for me. Greg, this one's actually quite tough to swallow because you had Alex Noren at plus 163 over Matt Fitzpatrick and Adam Schenck. Schenck misses the cut. Noren finishes T12 and you lose a three ball. That's tough. A T12 loss in a three ball is tough.
Look, this match was I went with the three ball because you're throwing Schenck in there and he just hadn't been playing very well. So it's really Fitzpatrick against Noren. And I didn't think this course would fit Fitzpatrick very well. I thought the play would kind of subside, but it hasn't. He's been playing great golf and continued. Yeah. And Noren played great too. So I feel like in a way I was right that Noren played well. But look, this is the difficulty in matches. It doesn't matter where they finish. It just matters. You got to beat the guy next to you. And he didn't.
Coach not only had a best bet of Sam Burns over Shane Lowry, but Sia Nejad was so against this that we made it a showdown wager. And then not only did Burns beat Lowry, but he wins the golf tournament. I feel like that should double the stakes, KP. If you do a showdown wager and your guy wins the golf tournament, I think you owe double.
For sure. And in Sia's defense, Lowry played great and has been playing great. By the way, I just looked up Fitzpatrick's recent finishes. So his last seven, T2, T12, T6, T10, T9, miscut at the Players. And then what was he this week? T7, I think.
Yeah.
Guess which week was the most popular fantasy option?
Probably the Players. Just throw the Players out. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. But yeah, Burns over Lowry, double the bet. And it is unfortunate because Lowry, I think, was top five in the field from tee to green. He was really good again and just didn't beat Burns.
Yeah, Lowry went 69, 68, 68, 68, finished T12, and again, loses a head-to-head matchup. That's like a tough life. That's a tough life to live for Sia.
Both Sia and I had a T12 loser. That's tough. Oh,
boy, that is tough. All right, one last thing to do here. Gentlemen, one and done. Little bit of movement here. The most popular selection, Victor Hovland, who was the pick of the fans, the pick of Mark and Coach. So we've got the bottom and we've got the top, earned 41,600. So not much movement there, although the fans do creep ever closer, KP, because you went with Russell Knox. That's only 17,000. And as of this moment, if my quick math is correct, you are holding a 5,400. No. My quick math is not correct. $105,000 lead on the fans?
Yes. Well, I got them right where I want them.
I'm right. Wait. How much is that? 5,000 would be four. Yeah, 105,000. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's 105,000. We're going in a match play. I got them where I want them. I didn't burn anybody. They burned Hovland, which I feel we're picking great players and they're just having like their worst finishes in months. I was not among the people picking great players, but you guys were.
Sorry, Greg.
I don't think anybody leaves this week happy. No. I mean, getting a T7 out of Adam Hadwin is great, but you had to think going into today that was going to be a little bit better than T7. I mean, that you even leave with a little bit sour taste in your mouth. I mean, everybody here leaves a little sour. Maybe Sia and Shane Lowry is feeling good about that. That might be the...
Yeah, I like that. I
probably feel good about that.
Shane Lowry, T12, 159,900. I had Dustin Johnson, 29,250. Horrendous. Greg had Louis Oosthuizen, $17,004.
And he's in the mix. 74, 73 over the weekend. Louis, are you kidding me?
No. He wasn't. He was not kidding you. But the big winner, and he's quite honestly the man of the hour, Jacob, come in here. T7 from Adam Hadwin. While it was a bit unfortunate to only get $250,000, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, producer Jacob.
Thank you very much. Adam Hadwin gave me a gift in that his name is Adam Hadwin, and I use him this week, and his name is not Louis Oosthuizen, Dustin Johnson, Shane Lowry, or Victor Hovland. So it feels great to take probably the least star power name on the board and also get the most money. So I'm feeling great, Greg. Duke just had an amazing cover. Well, that's true. That's true. Well, yeah, no. But Duke just had an amazing cover, which I may or may not have also had a vested interest in. So it's a great night. Yeah, I won't let Greg, you know, poo-poo this evening.
All right, good. Hey, I'm happy if you're happy. I'm just saying, I if it were me, I'd have a little sour. I'd be a little bitter about that.
Well,
he could have won.
Yeah, I mean, he could have, but, you know, you use Louis Oosthuizen, who's probably going to, I mean, you can just slot him in for a T2 at a major.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean.
You're taking $1 million.
I told you, I'm extremely disappointed. I thought I could get a T2 out of him here.
For next week, Jacob. So we should do, I'm assuming we're doing Monday DFS, Tuesday Mega Preview Pod. We should do a Wednesday Mega Preview Pod for the Punta Cana event. Oh boy, could you imagine that? Wow. What are we going to do? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to go Monday, Tuesday, and then round by round stuff Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Correct. We're just going to run this back every day of the week.
Love to see it. Happy birthday, Jacob. We're going to get you out of here. You got dinner reservations. Final thoughts on the Valspar Championship, but they must be quick because Jacob has to go and it's his birthday and he deserves it.
Yeah, let's get Jacob out of here.
Yeah, I'm not holding him up.
Big thanks to producer Jacob. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. Happy birthday. Kyle Porter is available on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. Greg Ducharme, you can find on Twitter at The Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.